Well, good evening everyone. It's a joy to be back amongst you again. Nice to see the boys and girls and some of the adults as well. Well, thank you all the adults as well, should I say. And we make you very welcome tonight. It's almost Christmas, isn't it? Can't we believe it? Just 5 days to go. Thank you. You're clever. You got it. 5 days to go. I'm dreading it. I really am. I better get into the shops and buy those flowers for my wife and all the cards and things. It's nearly there, but we want to read today from the Bible. Because this is where we find the true story of Christmas. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and it might seem a long reading, it's only 12 verses, so please allow me to read this clearly, and for every one of our benefits to be able to read in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Here is he that is born king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent unto Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And the word of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country and the other way. Now let's just read one further verse, just a page over. In verse number 19, it's a very shocking phrase. Verse number 19, "But when Herod was dead," when Herod was dead. I'm going to come to that in just a minute. Now, it won't be long before Christmas. I'm going to show you a few things on the board. Nothing very fancy tonight. I wanted to just spell something out to you tonight. We've looked at Simon's terrible spelling tonight. In one hymn, he managed to get two words wrong. We were going to play instead of pray. And we were going to form instead of from. You see, Simon, he's so busy. He's a busy man. But he's like the rest of us, they make spelling mistakes. And we're going to think a little bit about the spelling at Christmas. I like to spell out the message so it's really easy for everyone to understand. And we're going to spell out the Christmas message at Christmas time so everyone could understand. Now, whenever we talk about spelling, everybody gets bored. Oh no, not another school spelling lesson. Well, it's not going to be about that today. I trust and pray that you'll find our spelling very, very interesting as we think of Christmas. Now, I didn't bring a children's message as such. This is something for everyone today. So I'm going to make it a little bit fancy looking, but it's just a very, very simple, plain message today. But we made it a little bit fancy looking. We made a decorator message so that you can see at Christmas time. We wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And this was on the board, but it's fallen off. I think it was Martha put it on. So, Martha, where are you? Yes, Martha, you'll have to try harder for next Christmas, but there'll be no present. Okay, so we've got our little thing, and it's there. Now, we want to spell out a little message tonight. I don't know if the, especially maybe some of the younger boys and girls, could tell me the first letter in Christmas. The first letter in Christmas. The letter C. You see, when we read the Bible yesterday, we found a C right at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 2. And really, without this C, there will be no Christmas. Something people say nowadays, they keep on bringing religion into Christmas. And it makes me laugh. They keep on bringing religion into Christmas, when Christmas is all about one person. And it's about the greatest person who ever lived. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible has read it there, and it says that he was called the Child. And we're going to start today a little lesson to think about the first C of Christmas, and the first C was a child. Isn't it amazing that a little child who was born 2,000 years ago would be the one that today in metal we are still talking about after over 2,000 years, the child that came into this world. There were these wise men, and they came from faraway land over in the east. And as they travelled westward, and they came across towards the land of Israel, their journey had been long, their journey had been busy, their journey had been difficult, and they made their way over, and you were thinking, they're going to see a city, they're going to see something celestial, they're going to see something amazing and large. No, they came to see a child. And that child was the one who had made the most amazing of all journeys. I came this evening from Perth. It was pretty easy. It took about 45 minutes. As long as I never went over 100 miles an hour, I was able to get here in 45 minutes. No problem at all. I made my journey in a nice, comfortable car with heating on and my lovely wife beside me. It was no bother. But when we think of this child came from heaven. What a contrast. For the Lord Jesus Christ to be in this earth and hear bad language, to hear blasphemy, to hear the awful fighting of mankind, and the Lord Jesus, the child, has come from heaven to this world. And people nowadays, they celebrate Christmas and they have nothing to do with this child. The one who made the greatest of all journeys, the child, has come to save sinners. The child. Well, we thought a little bit about that child, that Christ child that was born there and lived in Bethlehem. But when we read that passage in Matthew chapter 2, there's something rather interesting. And a careful reader of the Bible will notice this, that not only was the passage about the child, but it says that when they were come to the home. Well, I'm sure you've read Luke's Gospel. And you notice in Luke's Gospel, it was a stable and a manger and swaddling bands. But when we come to Matthew's Gospel, the child who had come from heaven with the greatest of all journeys had come down and was now in a house. Christ was in the house. Well, I can only imagine that if I was to come to your house on Christmas Day, there would be presents in the house. There would be turkey in the house. There would be wrapping paper in the house. There would be the television in the house. There would be even maybe the Queen's speech in the house. What a day it would be. A great thing in the house. But would you have Christ in the house? There is an interesting verse in the book of Revelation. And it says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And the interesting thing is, if you analyse that verse, Christ is not in the house, Christ is outside the house. Let's put it in our modern terms. He's in the car park. He's in the car park, but you're all inside having your Christmas dinner, and he's ringing the doorbell, and he says, come in! And you're quite happy to have Christ in the car park, or Christ in the garden, but not Christ in your house. And they came that day, the wise men, going with that great journey from the west, coming towards the east, and they came to that place and they found Christ in the home. It was a long time ago that Christ came into my home. Well, when I say my home, to be precise, really my heart. That's where he came into. The one who came from heaven to be the Savior of the world came into my heart many years ago. You'd hardly say that I was only 9 years old. when I asked the Lord into my heart and into my life, and Christ became my Savior and friend. The child that was born, the Lord Jesus Christ, born there at Bethlehem, the King of the Jews, as the Scripture, the Lord of all, the one who's the light of the world, the one who's the Savior, the one who's Jesus. He was in a home. Christ in the home. I don't know about you this year. Will you have Christ in your home? You're definitely plucky, unless you don't like plucky. You'll definitely have presents, unless you don't like presents, and I've not met anyone who doesn't like presents so far. You'll definitely have the Queen's speech, unless you're not a royalist. But friends, will you have Christ in your home this Christmas? What kind of Christmas are you going to have without Christ in the home? Now, I noticed too that when we read in Matthew chapter 2, it says not only did they have Christ in the home, but they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. In fact, the Bible says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let us see for Christ, the H for home, and now we're going to think of the letter R for rejoice. The wise men, they rejoiced when they saw the star. George Michael sang a song. He said, last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. This year, the same frontiers, I'm going to give it to someone special. And you probably heard it on the radio, I'm not going to think you don't worry about it at all. And it's another sad song. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away. Why, he's sad. He's sad because someone he loved gave away the heart. The very next day, there was tragedy and treachery in that place. Well, the wise men, they didn't actually get anything, and yet they rejoiced because they rejoiced that they saw a star that was pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a star, you can't keep it. You can't put it in a box. A star only comes out at night, so most of the time you can't even see it. And yet when they saw that star, they rejoiced because that star was declaring that Christ was alive. They saw the stars in the sky, they followed that star, and with joy in their heart, they realized if they followed that star, they would find the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. More than over 99 that needed no repentance. Now, at Christmas time, your joy only lasts for probably only a few days. You know that? That's the truth about it. One Christmas day, many years ago, I got a punch bag. Now, if you remember you got a punch bag, it's a fan in the bottom, you blow it up, and it's got air at the top. And guess what you do with a punch bag? Clearly you punch it. It's exactly right. The only problem is, I don't know whether I punched it with sharp fingernails or something, whatever it was. I punched the punch bag and it got a hole in it. My Christmas present on Christmas Day ruined. I wasn't rejoicing. The joy of Christmas was gone because I punched the punch bag until there was a hole in it. And my joy had gone. You see, that's what happens with presents. They don't last. And after a little while, you get bored of them, or tired of them, or they get broken. But these wise men saw a star that pointed them to the Son of God. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Friends, you can have the joy today, real joy, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and having your sins forgiven. Now, we've covered just a few very simple measures so far. But you won't get any simpler words in the English language. This is the most simplest word in the whole of the English language. It's the word or name, the personal pronoun, the letter I. Everyone can spell it. Everyone understands it. Everyone, even from the younger, can write it. The letter I. Well, we only came across one letter I in our passage in Matthew chapter 2. Good to see John studying here to find what I'm talking about. But it's there in the passage. There is only one I in that whole passage. And that, don't worry about it, Paul is fascinated. And that letter I points to the villain of the passage. His name was Herod. You recall him a megalomaniac. He was one of the most brutal dictators that ever lived on this earth. His building projects were legendary. He built cities, and he even reshaped mountains outside of Jerusalem. He even reshaped these places and built lovely pleasure palaces all for his own pleasure. And in this passage he says, I. Everything surrounded him. He said that he wanted to see the Christ child, that he might fall down and worship him. What a liar he was. Because he had no intention of ever falling down and worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder about that in our lives. That perhaps I is actually the biggest person in your life. When I go out to the doors of Perth and tell people about the Lord Jesus, they always say this to me. Well, not always, but they often say this to me. First of all, they call me son, which I always think is charming. And they say, now son, I have my own religion. Maybe that's the way language you use in medical as well. I have my own religion. And they're absolutely true. I is their religion. Their religion is all about themselves. I'll be good enough in heaven. I'll be able to work my way to heaven. I'll be able to please God with my own effort. And Herod was a man who was full of I. He wanted to live his own way. In fact, he said, I want to see the Christ child, that I might worship him, with no intention in his heart of worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to slaughter the very Savior of this world. I want to just be personal to you and say, what about the I in your life? Is the I of Christmas Day, the I want? Well, friend, will you be the one that will bow the knee and realize that the true message of Christmas is about the Christ who came down? The Christ in the home, the one that we can rejoice in, and the one that we can surrender and say, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And friend, I wonder if you will be able to give your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I, the smallest word in the English language, but the word that sadly most of us are absolutely obsessed with. But we notice too that not only have we thought of Christ and Christ in the home, but Christ rejoiced, and the I that we have to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was one thing that Herod said that really touched me today when I read it. It's that he says, go and search diligently for the young child. When you read the Bible, sometimes people who didn't mean to say nice things about the Lord Jesus Christ said nice things about him. There's one passage that says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's one of the finest words in the whole of the Bible. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, how wonderful! He receives sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's another man, he says, it's expedient that one man should die for the people. And it's absolutely true. He spoke words, was sensible words, because it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Herod, that megalomaniac who was full of eyes, said, go and search diligently for the young child. And they went and they searched diligently. I went shopping. Just two Saturdays ago it was. What a day. And one Saturday I was able to do all my Christmas shopping. It was really, really good. All my Christmas shopping in one day, in one shop. I went to Argos and I was able to get two presents of Christmas today for my Christmas shopping. It was really stressful. Because you had to search through the catalogue, you had to search through the website, you had to search through the computer list. Until you found a present, you had to search diligently so you would get the bargain and the blessings of Christmas. Well, Herod says, go and search diligently. Isn't it tragic that most of us know more about searching for the cheapest iPad or the cheapest mobile phone, or the best place to get our clothes, or the best place to get our bargain Christmas turkey meal? We know more about searching for these things than searching for the Son of God who came from heaven to be the Savior of this world. And Herod, a man who had no time for the Lord, said, go and search diligently for the young child. I want to just ask you tonight, will you go and search diligently for the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe for many years you've never searched for Him. Maybe for many years you've searched for everything else but the Savior. Well, I invite you tonight to go and search for the Christ Child. The Savior of this world, the one who came to this earth for sinners such as me, that sinners such as you and me might be forgiven by His precious blood. The Christ, go and search diligently for Him. Now, the one that every child especially likes to hear about, not as the Christ who came, not so much Christ in the home, not so much the one that rejoices in, or the eye that we have to friend in Him, not even searching for Him, but boys and girls especially, and even the adults, they love the treasure of Christmas. It says here about the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, when they presented Him the treasures, they opened up to Him the treasures, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were exquisite choices. If you take your gold and your frankincense and myrrh in that day, and keep them in a little box right to this day, they would be of the same amazing proportionate value as they were 2,000 years ago. These were exquisite gifts that don't lose their value. In fact, I was reading about gold. I've got a little bit of gold in my finger rings to signify that I'm married to my lovely wife, but all the gold in the world has been mined. And if I get my fingers right, I think it's a cube of 36 by 36 by 36 feet is all the gold in the world that's ever been mined. All the gold in the world. There's not a lot of it. It's very precious. And the wise men got the treasure and they presented to the child gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now we haven't got time to look at the value and the meaning of all those gifts, but the thing is, they brought wonderful treasure to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have to look a little bit deeper, because the greatest treasure in that house was not in the bag of their wise men. The greatest treasure in that house was the child of Bethlehem, the Christ who had come down from heaven, the one who came as Emmanuel, the one who came as Savior, the one who came as God with us. The greatest treasure was the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll say, well, nearly we. I've got a letter. No, there's another 3 letters or so in Christmas, but when we say in Scottish, we don't say Christmas, we say Christmas. And I thought I'd maybe spell that out to you today. Christ who'd come down, Christ in the home, Christ the one that we should rejoice in, Christ the one that we should surrender to and let Him live in our life, Christ that one who we should search for, Christ the greatest treasure. But the saddest thing is in Scotland we call it Christmas. And this is what happens to Christ. At Christmas, most of us miss Him. We miss Him completely. In fact, if I were to put this at the top, this is what most people do. They miss Christ altogether. They miss Christ at Christmas. Not only on the 25th of December do people miss Christ, but every single day of their life, they live their life without Christ. I find it tragic that I work with lovely people, really lovely people. They never bow the knee in prayer. They never ask Christ to be their Savior and Lord. They never surrendered their life to Him. Lovely people, and yet they've missed Christ. I've been to prison before to visit people, and they've missed Christ. I've been to see people who are lying in the gutter, and they've missed Christ. I've been to see intellectual people in universities, and they've missed Christ. I've been to Perth, and they've missed Christ there. And if I were to take an estimate, I would say that the vast majority of people in our land of Scotland will celebrate Christmas, but will miss Christ. I wonder about you, friend. The wise men, they didn't miss Him. They made a massive journey. They took the treasure. They made Him follow the star. Other people laughed at Him following a star.
And they came and they followed outside because they didn't want to miss Christ. Let's just take one last look to see this, what this word is actually saying. What is Christmas all about? It's all about Christ. Christmas should all be about Christ, and the tragedy is that most people miss Christ at Christmas. I wonder if this year will be a different year, where instead of just dashing down to open your presents and sing jingle bells and to enjoy all the presents that you're getting, that this year, the first thing you will do at Christmas, will bow your knee to thank God for sending His Son, to ask Him to be your Savior, to forgive you from your sins, that you might be cleansed by His precious blood, and that Christmas might be the greatest day of rejoicing in your life when you're set for heaven and you're going to be with Christ. I did say that there was one verse at the end that I wanted to mention. Quite fun. Especially at Christmas. Quite fun. Herod wanted to see the young child. He did. He wanted to kill him. That's why he wanted to see that young child. Can you imagine? A man wanted to kill a little child. How tragic. Herod never saw the child. Never saw the Christ. Never lay eyes on it, because the Bible tells us so. It says now, when Herod was dead. Herod was dead. The clock was ticking for Herod. It was only just a few months, if we read the history correctly. And within just a few months of that scene there in the house where the wise men had visited the Savior, only a few months later, now Herod was dead. And that Christmas, he missed the Christ. That Christmas, he missed his opportunity to bow his knee and meet the Lord Jesus. And I ask you at Christmas time not to miss the Christ. I hope this Christmas is a very happy Christmas, and I hope and pray that you won't miss the Christ. Now let us pray and ask God's blessing and give thanks to you through this life. Our God, we thank you for this lovely time that we've been able to think about the Christ child, the one who had come from heaven to be the Saviour of this world, God's own Son. And Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We just rejoice in Him. We thank you that there's no one like Him. We thank you, our God, that those wise men, as they brought their gifts, they rejoiced in Him. But Father, we thank you for the greatest treasure. It was not gold and silver. The greatest treasure was the child Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for Him. We pray for all who have heard Thy voice tonight, that they will not miss the Lord Jesus Christ, but come to trust and believe in Him. We give Him thanks, Father, for the food too, and for this time of friendship. We pray that we will not lose the emphasis of the message tonight, but think about the Lord Jesus Christ carefully tonight. We give Him thanks in His most precious name. Amen. Well, thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Thanks very much, Adrian. Yeah, I'm not sure if you're going to come back. So we've got almost the same while the kettle's boiling over there. We had the show to get the trash bins. We're making sure the week that next Lord's Day at 6:30. Once again, just what we've preached here, and everybody's welcome to come back to you. Been challenged by what you've heard this evening, if you've been close to faith, and you want to hear more about the Lord Jesus, want to hear more about God's plan of salvation, we're waiting here every Sunday night at 6:30, and you're more than welcome to come along. Yeah, this tripod to get it works. I thought Adrian's spelling was bad, but there we go. This is the Hell Angels are singing, the Hell Angels are singing. Glory to the newborn King. The three verses. This one, I'll go home and put my hand on the ground. And I'll thank you.